This is Skip Mancini. I'm so glad you could come in, get out of the hot sun, and set a spell. It's time for Growing on the High Plains. This past summer has been filled with delight because of the mass migration of black swallowtails that have been making my garden their home. They've been joined by an unusually large number of other butterflies, including painted ladies, admirals, and even a mourning cloak or two. Hanging out around the butterfly bushes, these colorful insects present a jewel box of colors and patterns, with the center of attention always garnered by the mighty monarchs. These widespread beauties look for all the world like fragments from Victorian stained glass windows, with their brilliant orange panes outlined by black patterns. I can easily become mesmerized by all these flying flowers, and several years ago I decided I'd make my gardens a stopping place for butterflies, dragonflies, hummingbird moths, and any other winged beings, with exception of the noisy, clatter-winged grasshoppers that periodically try to horn in on the territory. What better place to start a landscape plan than with butterfly bushes in various bloom colors? Add a series of prairie perennials, throw in some cool damp earth around a little outdoor fountain that provides a respite from heat and drought, and I've started noticing a definite increase in our butterfly population. For a couple of years, I babied some plantings of milkweed and finally saw the payoff in masses of okra-looking seed pods that have begun to scatter and create patches of this plant most prized by the monarch as a caterpillar nursery for future generations. In a time when insect habitat is rapidly declining and insecticide residuals are on the rise, the monarchs need all the help they can get. But this summer's population boom has to be greatly attributed to the numbers of swallowtails, who, when it comes to creating offspring, head for the herb garden. There I've made them a dilly of a deal, as they seek out the dill plants, which are plentiful because I never pull, cut, or mow them. Consequently, the dill weed takes over an area, thronging up and spreading feathery foliage before sending out seed stalks that look like big black-seeded umbrellas. But the seed stalks are few and far between because the dill bed has been taken over by bright green, yellow, and black striped caterpillars. They nibble their many-legged ways up and down the dill stalks, clearing off every bit of foliage before moving into their next stage of development, the chrysalis sac, which engulfs the caterpillar that, through a series of evolutionary events, becomes a butterfly. Though my black swallowtails prefer dillweed as their favorite food choice, they can be enticed to try carrot and parsley. And if you're reluctant to give up your herbs or carrots, you can plant a row of fennel and transfer caterpillars to a special nursery. For myself, I leave my dill growing wherever it wants, with a large patch of it by the kitchen door, so I can look in on the nibbling crawlers several times a day. Moving them to a fennel patch would be time-consuming, as this summer I counted well over 50 swallowtails in transgression to adulthood any time I stopped to count. If you're squeamish about transporting a swallowtail caterpillar, don't be. They're silky soft and travel well in the palm of your hand until they reach a new destination. Just don't squeeze them between your fingers. And if you'd like a look at one of my swallowtails in transformation, you can go to our website and see a photo taken by Lisa, one of my garden girls, who is learning that flowers can fly and not all crawlies are creepy.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and produced by Skip Mancini.